Rugby City, episode 21. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for another edition of this Ragtag Rugby podcast. I'm your host, Terry Kilbane. Rugby City is a rugby lifestyle and culture podcast. We talk about the rugby way of life through stories and interviews with some of the biggest people in the game. Professional coaches, professional players, sometimes club legends, and even, believe it or not, scientists and entertainers. This week is no different. We're going to be talking with the president of Rugby Relief. Rugby Relief is about a year-old charitable organization that brings together rugby players to help out disaster victims. This is pretty timely as they're currently dealing with Hurricane Harvey, which is devastating Texas and Louisiana right now. They're bringing people together to help out with some people that are really struggling right now, and I heard about it on social media. I'd never heard about them before this week. I caught wind of them on social media, and it was inspiring. Feels like for the past 6 months, all I've heard about is North Korea, like Nazis. Just, it's been insanity on the news. So I think this is just a really cool, positive story. And I hope if you're listening to this, you enjoy it. And then you also maybe think about helping them out. It sounds like they're doing a really great job and helping a lot of people. Before we get started, got to get some stuff out of the way. If you leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever, I will do my best to read it on air. And this week, we got a good one from DaneTrain57. 5-star review, also by CCRFC, 5 stars. DaneTrain57 says, "The Chubby Chaser Rugby Football Club, the most dynamic sevens team ever, would love to be on the show." Dane, thank you for the review, and that is not off the table, so keep checking your emails or whatever. Thanks for the 5-star review. And again, if you leave us a 5-star review, I'll do my best to read it on an episode. So keep those coming. I need the positive reinforcement. Very insecure. Also, this and every episode is brought to you by the official interior painting company of Rugby City Podcast and, dare I say, rugby itself. Ask Amen Painting is an interior painting company run by rugby players. They fundraise, play, and help coach rugby, and they also will paint the hell out of your house. Don't mess up your jeans. Don't screw up your carpet. Ask Amen Painting will swing through there and paint the hell out of your house. Send them an email for questions at askamonpainting@gmail.com. That's askamon painting@gmail.com. They'll take care of you. All right, let's kick this off, shall we? We're going to be talking with Justin Pigeon of the Austin Huns and also Rugby Relief. Let's do this.
Rugby City, episode 21.
Rugby City, episode 21. We got a really cool episode for you here today. I'm really excited to be joined by a guest who is really doing some cool stuff. I just found out about them this past week. I'd never heard of them before. And unless you have been completely living under a rock, you've been hearing about the things going on with Hurricane Harvey and how so many people have been displaced and affected by this. And we're going to be talking with the president of Rugby Relief, Justin Pigeon. Welcome to Rugby City.
Thanks for having me, Terry. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So Justin, Rugby Relief, an organization consisting of rugby players, they're doing a lot of good. What can you tell us about your organization?
Well, so last year, in the when Baton Rouge flooded. I don't know if you saw anything about that, but there were some pretty devastating floods in Baton Rouge, and huge parts of the community were affected. And the Baton Rouge women's rugby team put together a GoFundMe page trying to get donations of resources and stuff to help flood victims. And I saw the GoFundMe, and I decided that I wanted to go help. And so I put together a group of volunteers. It was a small group, just sort of, you know, spur of the moment. And we went down, and I personally spent a week and a half there going around and gutting houses. And what we found was that rugby players, I think, inherently with just fitness and strength and teamwork, were very effective at doing what needed to be done. And, you know, with, you know, none of this could be done without the church organizations. But, you know, to be honest, a lot of the people who volunteer to help out in these situations are oftentimes older and retired. And whereas, you know, we had church groups going in and spending a week on a house, we had four people go in and knock it out in half a day. And we thought we had something really good. So we decided to keep doing it, and we formed Rugby Relief. And, organizing volunteers from the rugby community and putting them up with hosts in the affected areas from the rugby community. And you know, I think that it's something unique about rugby culture and the rugby community that makes it possible for people to, you know, accept strangers into their homes and then go out and work with them and help the community. And we're trying to do that again with Harvey and help out Houston and Corpus and probably even the Louisiana now, from what I hear. So,
you know, I'm glad you touched on the rugby community. That's kind of an ongoing theme of this podcast. It just kind of always seems to pop up how it's a global community. You know, you meet people, you go to tournaments, you meet people, you make a lot of friends automatically because there's that common ground. And for whatever reason, how the sport just creates these bonds with like-minded people, sometimes like-minded crazy people. But I think when I caught wind of you guys on social media, I went on your website and went on your Facebook page, and I was like, man, this is a fantastic idea. They've really tapped into, you know, all the positives of kind of the rugby community, and they can really, it looks like you're really going to be able to make some cool change and do some positive things for some people that are down and out, you know. And not only is it people that are, you know, are hardworking and can work together within a team unit, but, you know, you got some forwards that can move some stuff around, which is good.
Yeah. So yeah, we're very good with lifting heavy things and breaking things. So gutting houses after floods is the ideal scenario for a rugby team.
Now, I noticed that you had a video on YouTube that I watched, you know, and you're doing some meals and stuff. Other than gutting houses, are there any other ways you're kind of getting involved and helping people that are hurting from disasters?
I mean, you know, to be honest, starting out, I think we decided that our main focus was going to be on the stuff that we would be best at as just, you know, as just any rugby player, which is the heavy lifting, the endurance, going inside a house with long sleeves and pants on 100-degree day and working all day, with no AC, ripping stuff out and lifting up heavy things, something that, you know, we were particularly good at. And I think that we hope as we grow as an organization, we can look at getting more into the more skilled stuff, like, you know, putting the houses back together. But for now, it's, you know, trees need moving or cut down, limbs crossed, and then gutting the houses. That's our main focus. We had some people get in touch with us and then go down to Houston with boats, as well as people from the Hark rugby team and the women's Hark rugby team, who were going out in boats and helping rescue people from being stranded by the floods. But to be, to, you know, that's something that we are not, you know, particularly, you know, suited for. But people showed up with boats and we tried to point them in the right direction.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, I noticed on your website, when people want to get involved, there's kind of different roles. You have signups for rugger, hugger, coach, and union. Tell us about what the different ways people can get involved within your organization.
So part of our growth strategy that we decided on and we're, you know, we're still working on implementing is to establish the first two regions are they're based on the FEMA regions, which the country is broken up into, I think, 7 or 8 FEMA regions. And Texas and Louisiana, Oklahoma, I think so, is FEMA region 6, I believe. And then the Southeast is FEMA region 4. And so our goal is to focus on those two regions, and then we want to get, you know, semi-independent regions set up with toolkits and networks of volunteers, so that when something happens in any given area, the people in that area, the rugby teams in that area, can, you know, organize and go and help. Because obviously, if we've got, you know, all of our stuff in Texas or in Louisiana, it'd be pretty tough for us to get over to Florida if something happened. So we wanted to just, you know, create the infrastructure, and then from the, you know, standpoint of the organization, just trying to provide funding and training and those kind of resources to all of those regions. And in the long term, we really see this growing to the point where it's, you know, it's all across the country and, you know, even, you know, big dreams all across the globe, because I think the thing that we were talking about earlier about rugby being a global community is that, you know, we've already got a network and we just need to, you know, get awareness out and, you know, I haven't met a rugby player who wouldn't want to help, out in these type of situations. So
in the future, we could have this podcast is recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, the Paris of the Great Lakes. So in the future, if our river ever caught on fire again, we could have a Cleveland franchise to help out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. If we get a rugby relief team that's specially trained in river fires, then I think we'd be doing well.
And for, I gotta say, Cleveland is don't believe the negative press. Cleveland's actually an awesome town, and our river is and river and lake are super clean now. So that's I gotta stand up for my hometown after I just made fun of it.
of course.
So it sounds like you guys have been at this for about a year or so.
Yes.
So how many people are kind of like active or how many people do you think are in your part of your organization right now?
So the main part of the organization, I mean, just the board of directors that we have is just 5 people, and that's made up of, myself, from Austin Huns. We have one of representative from the Austin Valkyries, who were also huge in that first, trip to Baton Rouge. And then we have, one from, Baton Rouge women's team, and then, the New Orleans women team. And then we also have a chief master sergeant from the Air Force.
Wow.
Who was friends with a rugby player and showed up and was a badass.
She's not really not a former rugby player, just wanted to help out?
Yep. She's not a former rugby player, but she was friends with rugby players and decided to come through and we all got along awesome, and she actually knows what she's doing. So she wanted to stay involved. So we we're happy to have her on our board.
Okay, so you have this board. Now, what about your volunteer network? How many people do you have actually boots on the street do you have?
Well, I think I can't remember the exact number that ended up showing up to help out in Baton Rouge, but I think we had something like 120 to 150 volunteers that showed up over the course of a couple months. In that first weekend we had people driving in from DC and Texas, all over the place, to come help out. And then in the few events since then, we've had, you know, probably 30 or 40 volunteers with a solid base of around 20 volunteers that continually show up. And then just in the past 2 days, we've had over 120 people sign up to volunteer for Hurricane Harvey relief. It's all the rugby community, and they're from all over. We've had people from California signing up, and it's amazing. The people are just ready to drop their stuff and head over and help us out.
That's awesome. Good job, rugby community.
Yeah, awesome.
So obviously you're focusing on Hurricane Harvey right now and the people that are struggling with that. Now, we're all seeing on the news, highways that are completely flooded, houses that look like they're almost totally submerged, you know, people rescuing dogs. I saw a video of a guy rescuing some horses out of a pen. What are you guys seeing and hearing about down there that maybe we're not seeing in the Midwest or East Coast, West Coast, and abroad?
We probably get a lot more of the personal stories of interactions with people, people rescuing other people and stuff like that. But I think the news has covered it fairly well. I think there is one thing that keeps getting mentioned that's really interesting is how the with Houston, the flooding has been sort of erratic, which has really made things difficult on people. Whereas, I heard a story about a guy driving up to his house with a U-Haul and drove up in the dry, went inside his house, and came back out, and the street was flooded.
So he's trapped.
And so people are getting trapped in weird ways, and I think it's partially because they were having to release water from the levees so that they wouldn't break. But getting out of there has been a moving target for people. So
this has been called the worst disaster, I think, in Texas history. And obviously, the videos, everything we're hearing, it just looks insane. Why do you think the destruction is so severe in this case?
Well, when you drop 50 inches of rain in one area, I don't know if everybody understands how that works. That's literally 50 inches deep across the entire city of Houston, and Houston is huge. And I don't know if the depth threat, met that at all areas, but I think it far surpassed the amount of water dropped in any area anywhere else in the United States in history. I'm honestly really surprised that the damage hasn't been worse with that amount of water falling in one area. From what I've heard, the winds did not really hit Houston all that bad. And I haven't heard too much about Corpus and want to make sure that people don't forget about the areas that got hit with the eye of the hurricane. I'm sure they're dealing with stuff too, and we're hoping to work down there as well. But, it's just amazing the amount of water that has gone through that city. I saw a graphic today comparing the amount of water. I think it was 56 trillion cubic something compared to the 30 trillion of Katrina, and it's supposed to hit something like 80 or 90 trillion cubic meters or whatever by the time that it's over.
Incredible. So. Now, I saw in the news that this, you know, a lot of people are saying this is going to take years to, you know, years to recover from this. How is rugby relief? You know, obviously this is a very fluid situation. Excuse the pun. How is rugby relief going to jump into action? And you know, how are you hoping to make an impact?
Well, I mean, by doing what rugby players do best is our goal, to just go in there and work, put in work and put in teamwork. There's organizations down there that have a good infrastructure, much better than ours. Stuff Team Rubicon and All Hands and some other organizations that have a little bit more experience with this, and we're hoping to rely on those organizations a little bit to get us equipped if we need it, and get us pointed in the right direction. We generally do a pretty good job of equipping ourselves and finding the people in need of help, but for a disaster this large, we're expecting that we will need to coordinate that extra amount with the other organizations. And then, in the long run, the gutting houses and helping people who were uninsured, because a lot of people, the flood is so much higher than the expected maximum flood lines, that a lot of people were flooded and did not have flood insurance. And it's those people that we're going to need to help. And that's going to take months just to get to those people and gut their houses. And the longer those houses sit wet and mildew, the worse it gets. And so, you know, trying to hit it hard starting out, and then in the long run, hopefully we'll partner up with St. Bernard Project or some of the other organizations that we worked with to help with the rebuild. But yeah, it's going to be years before this is back to the way it was.
Well, you got your work cut out for you. How can some of our listeners, if they should hope so or should want, how can they get involved and help out rugby relief?
Well, there's a couple ways. So there's obviously volunteers, hands on deck. And if you can come down and bring some of your teammates, and because that works even better if you're working with people you know. And we'll find a place for you to stay and give you tools and give you equipment and put you to work. And if you can't make it down, that's cool too. We also need money to be able to buy tools and protective gear like masks and gloves and stuff like that to get in these houses. And all kinds of equipment and food and water and all that stuff, fuel. I could go on. So if you go to our website, there's a way to donate there. There's also plenty of organizations that are taking donations of money and other things too. I know a lot of people ask us about physical donations like clothes and stuff like that. And I know around here there's a lot of places that are accepting donations, and if there is a place near you accepting donations, take what you can. But I want to make sure everybody is aware that just your old clothes is not really always helpful. A lot of times these organizations that accept donations end up with just massive piles of like clothing that doesn't make sense, like winter coats for places in southern climates and teddy bears and stuff like that. And they just end up with piles of the stuff. And, it's great that people want to help out. Just make sure that you, look up what it is that the people actually need, and the organizations that are accepting donations should have that posted. And typically it's stuff like diapers and you know, toothbrushes and shampoo and washcloths and towels and you know, some clothes that are appropriate. But they'll have a list of all that stuff. And so between those three, volunteering, money, and you know, physical donations, that pretty much, I think, covers it.
Fantastic. Well, I think I'm going to try in my club here in Cleveland, the Cleveland Crusaders. I think we're going to pull together and see if we can't help get you guys some funds, in the near future here. Obviously I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. You know, the news leading up to this, I mean, this is obviously a catastrophe, but the positive line, or the silver lining here, is that it shows like the human spirit kind of coming together and helping others. And for the past 6 months, it seemed like all we've heard about is nuclear warheads and, you know, Nazis or whatever. So it's really refreshing to see you guys, you know, getting people together to help other people. And it's inspiring. And I was really psyched to learn about it. Hope we can help in any way we can. Let us know. We'll definitely be putting all your info out on the Rugby City podcast, social media, so people can donate and get involved. But this is awesome, Justin. I'm pretty psyched about what you're doing. I was really inspired when I saw what you guys are doing down there.
Well, I really appreciate you reaching out to me, and I'm happy to talk to you, and excited to get the word out, because, you know, I think that this is great for, you know, the communities that we're helping. I also think that this is something that's great for the rugby community. We've had, you know, great experiences. I've made some great friends, and done some great work, with this group. And, you know, I think that any way that we can strengthen the rugby community and rugby culture, as well as share that with other people who aren't part of it, you know, the people we help. Any way we can do that, I'm all there.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely be putting that out. So if you're listening to this podcast, it is already on the social media and all that good stuff, or it'll be there shortly, so hang tight. Or where can so what is your website for Rugby Relief?
So it's www.rugbyrelief.org, and if you go to the main page, and you can see there's a tab there for Harvey, you know, Hurricane Harvey specific donations, and that has all of the links where you can sign up to volunteer. You can sign up to host if you live in an affected area. If you know somebody in need of help, you can fill out that form, or you can donate.
Fantastic. So, Justin, I found out that you're familiar with the podcast, which warmed my heart. That you listened to the Tales from the Tour 2 episode. Terrible title, man. The Pitchiton episode, and you're actually an active member participant of that tournament, which is awesome. And I, knowing the format, you know, you can't get out of here without answering some goofball questions.
Let's have it.
We've had some connection with your club. You mentioned the Huns. We had Eugene Eloff, I guess now a former coach, and Todd Clever, who played in the championship match for you guys. Mm-hmm. So you play for the Huns. What is the dirtiest rugby play you ever witnessed in Perth? We've been talking so glowingly about the rugby community. Let's throw some dirt on it. What's the dirtiest rugby play you ever witnessed, were part of, or those?
Oh,
two.
Man, man, when you say dirty, I want to come up with something sneaky, but I think the dirtiest plays I've seen are just straight up. I mean, we got, you know, our crosstown rivals, the Austin Blacks, and we always have a heated matches whenever we play. And, you know, whichever way you swing on that spectrum, I think the rivalry has been good for rugby in Austin. But I've definitely, on both sides, seen some messed up stuff. Just straight up stand up in the middle of the field and cold cocking somebody. or being on the ground in the middle of a scrum and breaking someone's face with a punch to the nose. So, you know, I'm trying to think of something more like salacious, but yeah, those are the ones that stand out to me.
Sure. What's the Austin Huns, what's the best nickname, best or worst nickname on the Austin Huns right now?
I'm so used to them. I mean, we got, I'm so used to the nicknames that it don't even occur to me. We've got SpongeBob and Doormat. I think the best one, we have a prop that joined us probably 7-8 years ago, I don't remember, and he got the nickname Octo after Octomom, and that stuck with him. So
how did the Octomom connection come about?
Well, I think she was pregnant at the time, and they bore a striking resemblance. So it's just one of those names that just got yelled out randomly at a drink up, and it has never gone away.
That's usually how they start.
Yeah.
So I was not an active participant in this year's pitch attempt. Any funny stories from this year's tourney? This is real hard hitting journalism here. We come with the hard questions.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I was pretty drunk for a lot of it. I won a medal. I didn't know there was a competition actually at the slip and slide, and ended up winning what is it? I got it here on my dresser. It's the synchronized slip and slide award. First place. I hoard on with the military team, I think Fort Benning, and the Valkyries went and set up what they called Vag City. The Valkyries showed up with me and probably 18 other players, and so we had a huge area. And then where is I going with this? Oh, how did I get into that? Anyways, I hoard on to the Fort Benning team. Oh, I remember what I was saying. So their theme was Miss America. So everybody went as Miss something. And I went as Mr. Clean. And I had a nice French maid outfit on. I randomly, one of the guys from the team I hoard on with showed up in a red Speedo at the slip and slide, and we had the idea that I would ride him, he would go face first down the slip and slide, and I would ride him down the slip and slide, and that apparently won us a first place medal.
You got to go big or you know, go home, as the old adage said. Well, you got the honor, so congratulations. Yeah. And again, if you're listening to this and you're a rugby player, you got to go to pitch in. It's a fun time.
It was epic. That's the only word you can put with it.
Did you go whitewater rafting?
I did. Yeah. Nice. I got there, went whitewater rafting. Yeah, got drunk the first night, and I think we went through 30 kegs the first night, and before they shut them off, so that we would all go to sleep and be able to play rugby in the morning. Played rugby all day. Didn't go down with a team. Just found a team and played with that team all day. Enjoyed watching the naked belly flop contest, and did some slip and sliding, and it was a blast.
It's an insane time down there. Yeah. Well, Justin, you got a lot of work ahead for you and your organization. Anything, I know you probably got a lot to work on. Is there anything else you'd like to tell anybody, or any other message for anybody interested in about rugby relief?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the more the merrier. So if you can make it down for a weekend or a week, we'd love to have you. It's a great time. Last when we were in Baton Rouge, it was just like rugby. We'd work all day and then we'd play a little bit, go out and have some drinks, cooking out, people putting together big cookouts at their houses and everybody getting together and having a good time every night, and then wake up early and go do it all over again. It was rewarding and helpful and a lot of fun all at the same time. So if you have an interest, get in touch with us and we'll do whatever we can to make it work for you.
Fantastic. Well, Justin, thank you again so much. Thanks for being a part of Rugby City.
Thank you, Terry. It was great talking to you.
All right, I'll hit stop the record. Well, look at that. You made it all the way to the end. Congrats. Another big thanks to Justin Pigeon and Rugby Relief for being a part of Rugby City and all the cool work they're doing. Really a great story about the rugby community. Please, if you can, support them in any way through donation or, get your ass down to Texas and help out. Justin also, after the interview, he wanted to say that, Rugby Relief and the charitable organization is really represented a lot by women's rugby. He's like, man, women's and girls rugby, they really step up for this stuff. So he wanted to give a shout-out to women's rugby. He thinks they're just awesome. So I'm going to read into that a little bit and say, bros, come on. Let's get involved. Let's do this. He lamented that he didn't go in more in-depth to the SpongeBob nickname, which is actually a funnier story. So, life is full of regrets. So, sadly, Justin, that is yours. Hey, if you like what you heard, please help podcast out, tell your friends, share it out on social media. We're on Facebook, obviously, Twitter at @rugby_city, and on Instagram at @rugbycitypodcast. A 5-star review again on iTunes or whatever is a huge help. That's a big deal. We'll read it on air or do our best to, just help spread the word. Got some cool episodes coming up, so definitely stay tuned. And I want to again thank Ask Eamon Painting, the official interior painting company of Rugby City Podcast. Keep an eye out. We got some announcements coming up soon. Got some real cool stuff in the works. So stay tuned. Cheers.